Mid-Maryland's news and talk station, 930 WFMD.
621 at WFMD. It is the Morning News Express. Rise and shine up and Adam, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. On the phone with me is my niece. Her name is Emily Zier. She is in Atlanta, Georgia. Are you Atlanta, Georgia? I say you're in Atlanta. You're in Atlanta, right, Emily?
Yes, I go to University of Georgia, but right now I live in Atlanta.
And living in Atlanta. And one of the things that you have done over the past 6 or 7 years, might be even longer than that, that you help train the beginning stages of service dogs. Is that correct?
Yes. So what I do is called puppy raising. And so I have the service dogs for the first 2 years of their lives.
The hardest part. I mean, that's like the it's really fun. It's when they're the cutest, but it's a lot of work. What do you have to do to train them?
Sure. So I get them when they're around 8 weeks old. And of course, potty training is first. And then it's my responsibility to take them everywhere with me in public. So that's called the socialization stage. And so, and the point of that is that we get them out everywhere with us. So we get them to grocery stores. They go to the gym. They go to restaurants. They travel with us. And that's so when they do become a service dog, they're not encountering something that they haven't already encountered. So no sights, no smells, no different types of people, and no surfaces that they haven't already experienced. And that's really, really important. And that's our main job.
Yeah.
Make sure these dogs have just been out in the world. And then on top of that, we teach them 30 different commands to get them ready to be service dogs.
Okay. Let's back up a little bit, because you used to go to the University of Maryland, and you actually have worked with one of our state senators, David Brinkley, to get a law passed in the state of Maryland regarding service dogs. What was that?
Yeah, so that was to make sure that people like me have access to housing and different public accommodations that the service dogs needed to get used to at a young age. So before, I can't even remember what year it was, but before I did this, people that were puppy raisers and trainers couldn't take dogs to public places. We didn't have the same access rights as people with disabilities, which you initially think makes sense, but then when it gets down to it and you realize that we're the ones who are preparing these dogs to be service dogs, it's really important that we have those access rights. And so when I was an undergrad, I did work with Senator Brinkley to get those laws changed, and it actually was a really smooth process, and it was unanimously voted for in the House and Senate. So it was pretty smooth.
So in other words, I mean, you still have, because I've been out to dinner with you when you had one of your dogs, and they have the covering on them. I call it the covering, whatever you want to call it.
The vest
that says, hey, look, I'm in training. Don't mess with me while I'm in training. I've also been the MC at the local Lions Club, and will be again, for they have a leader dog for the blind that they raise, and they have a fundraising dinner for them. And the same thing, they kind of know when the dog's training, when the dog's not training, and they actually have really distinct different personalities when they're doing both of these things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have a command even we give our dog that when they've got the vest on, if we want to let them go ahead and just kind of take a second to calm down or be a normal dog or be really social, we'll give them the release command, and they'll completely change. I mean, right before your eyes, a dog will go from being in a sit completely calm to standing up and wiggling and getting excited because they know they have a break from work.
Right. So now, the dog you're raising right now is named Weber.
Yes.
And one of the things, though, that is maybe hindering your ability to do what you do for people who are going to need these dogs in the future is people who make up their own little comfort dog vest to put on their dogs and service dog, the fake service dog vest, so they can take them just about anywhere they want to, correct?
Yes. So we call that pets and vests. And then also just kind of the blow up of emotional support animals. I mean, people have just started taking their dogs everywhere with them, and you see a lot of stories on airlines of emotional support animals misbehaving. And so people have caught on that there are loopholes in the laws, and they can figure out ways to bring their, essentially their pet dogs with them to places where working dogs need to be and working dogs only.
Yeah. Now, you had an incident, which is why you're on the program here this morning. We're talking with my niece Emily Zier from Atlanta, Georgia. You walked into a government-run facility, a post office, and were refused to be waited on because you had Weber with you?
Yes. So I am getting my PhD in disability policy. So I happen to be the wrong person to do that to because I'm very well versed in the policies, in state and federal policy. And so in the state of Georgia, puppy raisers like me, which is what we're called, we have access, just like in Maryland, a couple of states, Massachusetts, we have the same exact access as someone with disabilities. And so, but even with that, the organization I work with is very clear that if you're not welcome, you leave. Despite the law, you know, we don't ever want to put a bad taste in someone's mouth. And so, I actually went to the post office before I got Weber when I had Giovanni, my last dog, and just told them I'm getting a new one. You might think this full-grown dog is actually my service dog. He's not. I'm training him. But I'll have a new one. He'll be a puppy. Do you mind if I bring him in? Post office is great. They're like, sure, your other dog's been wonderful. Bring your dog in. So I went in to send a package, and I was standing in line, and there was a gentleman helping one person, and then there was a woman who was free. And so I started to walk towards her, and she said, no, I'm not serving you. Next. And I kind of just was so caught off guard that I stood there, and the person behind me went up to her, and then that person finished, and the gentleman was still busy, and then she called the person behind me. And so I just thought to myself, maybe she wasn't sending packages. I had a package. Maybe she's only doing letters. I didn't know. So I waited, and the gentleman became free, and I went. And so it turns out I actually messed up the label on my package, go figure. And so I had to go back the next morning to send it, and she was the only one there. And I walked in, and excuse my language, but she was just like, Jesus, you and the dog again, and rolled her eyes, and there were other customers in the post office. And I just looked at her and I said, I'm so sorry. Have I done something to offend you? Because you refused me service yesterday, and I don't understand why. And she said, because I'm allergic to dogs. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry about that. I understand. I'm not asking you to interact with my dog in any way. I've been in this post office before. I do have permission to be in here with my service dog, and I just need to send this package. You stay on that side of the counter. I'll stay on this side of the counter. Just need to send the package. And she said, no, I'm not sending it in. I'm allergic to dogs. And so that's when I thought, great, this is an opportunity to educate. And I said, I just want you to understand this is not my dog. This is a service dog that I'm training for someone with a disability. And so per the Georgia code, this dog actually has legal access rights to be in this building, not just permission from your postmaster. And per the ADA, allergies and fear of dogs is never a reason to deny someone service with a disability who's utilizing a service dog. And that's when she looked at me and said, honey, I don't care if you have a disability. I'm not serving you.
Wow. Can you hang on for a minute, Emily?
Sure.
We've got to take a break and got the news. We'll talk more with what happened after she was told, I don't care, honey, I'm not serving you and your dog. We'll talk about that coming up on the Morning News Express at Free Talk 930 WFMD. Now let's get a look. Emily's there. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia. She raises service dogs, puppies, to turn them over to be service dogs. And she had an experience at a post office where a lady who refused to provide her service because she said she was allergic to dogs. Do you think that was what it was, allergic to dogs, or she just didn't want to deal with you?
You know, unfortunately, it doesn't matter. So if you don't want to deal with me, if you're allergic to dogs, if you're afraid of dogs, the law covers it all. So, you know, I don't really care what it was. She didn't have a right to deny me service, and she certainly never has a right to speak to someone like that with a disability and say, I don't care if you have a disability. I'm not sending your package. That's just, it's blatantly illegal.
So what happened then? I mean, when you heard that, I mean, obviously you got to be taken aback by that. So what did you do after that?
Yeah, so it really set me off because, like I was telling you, it just, you know, it really, I work with people with disabilities who rely on these dogs to live their daily life like a normal person. They need the help of a service dog. And so, you know, just putting myself in their shoes and thinking how that would feel and, you know, the courage you need to stand up for yourself that some people might not have in that moment. And so I made it very clear that I explained the laws to her, and if she wasn't going to listen to me, I was going to call the police. She just ignored me, and everyone in the post office at this point was quite interested in what I was going to do. And I had a lot of people saying, do it. You know, we're with you. We're standing here. We'll wait. And so I called the police. And they came. They were very kind. The postmaster was called. The woman, actually, as soon as I called the police and let her know the police would be coming, went to the back, and I never saw her again. But the postmaster came, and it was a really good opportunity to educate. But there's a severe lack of training for obviously federal employees, but also just business owners in general on what their rights are, what a service animal is, and what the laws are, you know, when you can deny access, when you can't deny access. And so we really need to do a better job at helping people understand what a service animal is, what an emotional support animal is, and the difference, and what business rights are and what individual rights are.
Do you carry some kind of documentation telling people who you are and what you're doing?
I do, because as a puppy raiser, we are required to carry that, because in order to have access, we have to be with an accredited organization through Assistance Dogs International. However, individuals with service dogs do not need to carry any type of documentation, nor present any kind of documentation at any point to prove that their dog is legitimate.
Okay. We do have somebody who wants to ask you a question, Emily, so hang on a second. Julie's on the phone. Julie, good morning. Welcome to the Morning News Express.
Well, good morning, and I think she just answered the question, because the question I had was, how can you tell if it's truly a service dog or someone's pet? That I was told you can get the coats the animals wear on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at a like an open farm or something, and there's a service dog that's wagging its tail, going up to people, licking, doing their thing, and so forth, how can you tell that's a true service dog when they're acting like a pet?
So you just hit the nail on the head. So while people with service animals, you know, if you Google it, you'll get a registry. There's no such thing as a service dog registry. It's all a scam. Service dogs are just the dogs that are individually trained to help someone deal with a disability. And so that they can be self-trained or they can come from an organization. And the way you know it's a legitimate service dog is if it's behaving in all the ways that you just didn't mention. So service dogs are invisible. If a service dog is disruptive, which means that they're licking, they're barking, they're biting, they're out in the aisle in a restaurant, if they're visible in any way, they're not behaving by the standard of a service animal, and you can ask them to leave. So true service dogs are invisible. They are highly trained. They are very well behaved. And so service dog or pet in a vest, if an animal is misbehaving in public, it doesn't matter which it is. Businesses have the right to ask them to leave the premises. But the guidelines for a service animal is they cannot be disruptive or destructive. And so if there is a dog in a grocery store or a restaurant that is being disruptive in any way or destructive in any way, it's either a service dog who's misbehaving and needs to leave, or it's not a legitimate service animal. But the most common comment I get when I'm out in public by store owners or in airport security, I get this all the time, is, that's a real service dog. You can tell immediately by a true legitimate service dog's behavior that they are highly trained, they're constantly looking at their handler, they're ready to work, and they're not distracted, and you really, without seeing them, you wouldn't know they were there. That's a service dog. Otherwise, any of those behaviors you mentioned, licking, barking, any of that, that's not standard of behavior for a service animal. That dog should not be in a public place.
Now, what about for a dog like that you're raising? Because you get the puppies from 8 weeks to 18 months. I mean, they obviously haven't learned all that yet. So, you know, what is the learning curve on something like that? And do you not take them out until you feel like they're ready to go?
Exactly. So we do not take them out until we are positive they're ready to go. And should they ever misbehave in any capacity, we remove them immediately. But we really work hard. We go to classes, independent individual classes, to make sure that they're socialized really well. And then we, little by little, I mean, for example, this post office outing should have been maybe 5 minutes. He'll be in public. He'll be introduced to people. I have my treat bag. He's all eyes on me. And then we leave. And so you build that. But you almost need to guarantee that your dog is going to be invisible and so well behaved. And if not, you have to be willing to leave. I have gotten up in the middle of dinners, had to pay the check, and leave because my dog is not abiding by the standard of behavior. So it's really important that we reinforce that so people can understand what a service dog is. But I also make store owners and business owners really aware that he's working, he's training. And so, you know, he might let out a bark. And if he does that, I apologize. But I ask them to work with me. And generally, everyone is very understanding, because even though he's a working service dog and he might have slip-ups, he's still 90% of the time better behaved than a random pet. would be in a public situation.
All right, Emily, unfortunately, we're out of time. The resolution to this, were you happy with what the post office did? Will you go back to that post office to see if they continue to, act like that lady did, or if they might be changing their ways?
I went back yesterday. I had to send a pair of shoes back to my best friend. So, yes, I went in yesterday. I had no problems whatsoever. So I have faith that hopefully it'll change, but I will continue to go back. I am not going to, just forget this. I want to make sure, and I'm also meeting with the business commission of the community where I live to make sure we really educate our businesses on what their rights are and what people with disabilities' rights are.
Well, I appreciate you getting up early with us and telling us your story.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was good chatting with you. I miss you.
All right. See you, Emily.
All right, love you.
Have a great day. Love you, too. All right, there you go. And I'm going to tell you something. Right now, you don't want to get into a fight or an argument with Emily Zier. You just don't want to do it. I'm telling you, she will, and she can back it up. All right, speaking of backing it up, hopefully you're not backing it up on the roads this morning. Here's traffic. Here's Diana Gibson.